Hear these words of Holy Scripture and listen for God's word for you from Psalm 135. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. They have eyes, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. And there is no breath in their mouths. Those who make them and all who trust them shall become like them. And from the first letter of John, little children, keep yourselves from idols. These have been the words of God from the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts find favor in your sight, O Lord. Before I begin the sermon, I have to take a little poll. First of all, how many of you have a cell phone? How many of you have a smart cell phone? Therefore, I would now like to read to you what I prefer as the modern translation of Psalm 135. The idols of the nations are smartphones, the work of human hands. They have screens, but they do not speak. They have cameras front and back, but they do not see. They have speakers, but do not hear. There is no breath in their mouths until we put it there. Those who make them and all who trust them shall become like them. What does it mean to become like them? Inanimate, animate objects activated by us? Sometimes I think we come to worship our gadgets. Just last week, I was passing an outdoor table of four young people. They appeared to be enjoying the mild weather and were having a soft drink together, or so it seemed. But what caught my attention was the fact that all four of them were looking down at their smartphones, seemingly not engaging each other, making me wonder, why are they all together at this table? So if you've ever been to a movie theater, particularly on a Friday or Saturday night, the Birmingham 12, I like to call it the House of Blue Lights, because the people who are supposedly watching the movie are all watching their cell phones. So I ask the question, do gadgets disengage us from each other, or do they connect us? I like to think in a theological sense that these gadgets that we have are a little bit like money. We can make them idols, or we can see them for what they are, vehicles for communication and connection, not to be worshipped, but to be used. Now, have you ever felt that some people seem to care more about their smartphones than you when in a meeting, or perhaps even at a social event? So where do gadgets intersect with faith? I suspect there is even a God app, but no one can confirm that for me yet. But I know there's a prayer app, a devotional app, a Bible app. But my question is, do they help us connect to God? Or do our smartphones help us to isolate ourselves from God? This weekend, our delegates and Methodist clergy are in Adrian at the Detroit Annual Conference. And they're celebrating a fundamental tenet of Methodism, connectionalism. I'm proud to say that we here at First Church are connected to the church down the street. A good example is the AIDS worship service across the street this evening. We are connected to churches like Baldwin or Cass. We're connected outside the country in places like Costa Rica and Zambia and Prague and Estonia and soon to be Vietnam. Think about it. How have we connected through the centuries? What does it mean to be connected? Well, for most of human existence, it was by oral storytelling. Much of our scriptures comes out of the oral tradition, telling the stories, passing the stories on. More recently, It's been in the written word. Now, some of you may have attended Jack's mother-in-law's funeral for Marge Stone, but I took away from that service the power of connection that comes from the written word. The eulogizers read from letters that she had written to family members going back 30, 40, 50 years. She apparently was a copious letter writer. But what struck me was the Harnish and Stone families have a history in writing that they can remember, but a history that they can pass forward. They are connected through these letters into the past and into the future. I like to think Paul's letters have exactly the same effect. They were written at a specific time and in a specific place, but they've been recorded and they continue the story through the ages. More recently, our connecting communications have been the telegraph and the party line phone. And what I find interesting, there was a return to oral communications through the ubiquitous cell phones, where, alas, we are expected to be in connection 24/7. Even more interesting, texting seems to have replaced oral communications. So we're going back from oral to the written. But however, modern technology, whether it be FaceTime or Skype, have enabled us to return to face-to-face communications. So all of this invites me to ask, how do we connect with God, God's people, and God's creation? I know what it's like to be tethered to a machine. All of you know I'm not tethered to my cell phone, so let's get that out of the way right now. But when I was in Tokyo, I remember being a slave to the telex machine. Some of you may know what that was. And I was the same when I was in the Navy. But it was interesting, no matter how important or unimportant the messages were, you were expected an instant response. I live that life today with my emails. I have trouble sorting out what is important and what's not important. I just try and answer them all in the order they came in. Today, we all have these gadgets. We all know how to connect. We call them social media. And quite frankly, these gadgets, if you will, help us stay connected with friends and family, far and near. And that's relatively new. We can also use these social media to proclaim God's word. I'm somewhat fascinated with all my Facebook friends, and they're not as many as some other people, but I find that it's only my clergy friends who raise theological issues or faith sharing. Are we missing an opportunity to use modern social media to proclaim the good news that you and I believe on a personal, not just the institutional, Facebook, I like First Church, or whatever it is? That's sort of a challenge. That why are we seemingly so reluctant to share our faith in social media, with our friends, with our family? So will these modern conveniences be used to offer God praise and worship? This is something that you may experience throughout the future years. I don't know how many of you can vividly remember the day Jeff Nelson's cell phone went off while he was giving his valedictory sermon over here, and it came in the middle of it unexpectedly, and it was a call from God. It was a memorable use of this technology. I have recently watched preachers and eulogizers use their iPads to deliver their remarks. How far away are we from a live dialogue sermon with Twitter feed? The only thing I can tell you will be after I'm gone. But I think we're close to that kind of connection between preacher and congregation. So how does one stay in touch with God? That's really the fundamental question here. It's not about your gadgets. How do you connect to God? What are you doing for encouragement and prayer? I'd like to offer that I really think it's the old standards in spite of all the technology that we have, that it's taking time to enter into the silence to hear the still small voice of God. It is finding that place where we will not be interrupted by our cell phone. Perhaps it's attending a Taizé service. Perhaps it's going on a retreat. Perhaps it's just taking time to step away from all those things that keep us busy. I challenge you, give some thought to how you will stay connected to God. Now, if you haven't figured out that today's lessons are about idolatry, and the real question is, how do you know when you've crossed the line into idolatry? The New Testament has tended to spiritualize idolatry, referring to it not in the literal worship of images of God, but here, listen to this, giving priority to interests other than God. And I really like that definition of idolatry. It's giving priority to interests other than God. That has often been called spiritual adultery. Webster's definition of idolatry is immoderate attachment or devotion to something. I ask you, where are your smartphones in those equations? Scott Krosdek, in his book Pursuit, which the Arvin Dennis Men's Group is currently reading, talks about the notion that what he calls the missional life is about altering our vision. It demands that we adjust our vision to the divine rhythms of God, in whom and through we live and have our being. And he says, it's about shifting the way we see things. Pursuing God requires that we look for evidence of God's presence wherever we are, wherever we go. And he says, let me assure you that God is working everywhere. God's presence, God's surprising and transforming power even lives in you. And God calls us through all kinds of occasions, our vocations, our locations, our personalities, our talents. Our communication gadgets can either enhance our ability to see and hear God in the world by connecting us to others, to friends, to family, or they can be a distraction, diverting our eyes like those young people at the table from God's presence around us as we stare at our screens. We are called to encounter God and discover God's mission wherever we are, just as we are. It is our pursuit of God in all life's dimension that constitutes the bedrock of the missional life. That's from Scott. Which I want to make it clear this morning, I'm not here to condemn our gadgets, but I'm here to ask you to reflect on how these gadgets help you make connections. Connections with God's people. I'm going to offer what I call a cure for the smartphone and tablet distractions. And I'm suggesting a gadget Sabbath. With your connectors turned off, whether for an hour a day, before a day, or whatever. I'll give you an example that's not related to our gadgets, but we live in an automobile society. We're always jumping in our cars, going here, going there. And I'm wondering whether just taking a walk, being it a short one or a long one, a walk with no agenda, a walk to look and see God's creation, to be present to God around us. It has been written that walking has a surprising number of parallels with the spiritual life. At an initial glance, walking seems rather unproductive. It's similar in many ways to spending time in prayer. We all know that there are faster modes of transportation than walking. But in our type A active lifestyles, walking can put us in a more contemplative state, much like prayer. Prayer is not as productive as going out and doing something for God's people, but might sustain us in serving God's people. Walking like prayer can make us feel more like human beings rather than human doings. We all could travel in a faster way than walking, or spend more time being more productive, or be connected 24/7. But you might feel you're liberated when you don't have to produce every minute, you don't have to be connected every minute, and you don't have to rush to every place every minute. You can slow down, smell the roses or these beautiful flowering trees. If only on a simple walk, if only for a few minutes a day. Now, have you ever had that sinking feeling that, oh my God, I've left my smartphone at home? And that you're literally feeling naked, disconnected? If you've had that feeling, it then raises the question, why is this piece of hardware and software cause you such anxiety? Is it because we worship it? Is it because it distracts us from God? Or do we miss it because it has a very positive purpose in our life? A purpose that connects us to others. By connecting us, we are able to enter into others' stories. We are able to be in another's life. A cell phone and a smartphone may tether us to loved ones and friends, especially to those we don't see often. They connect us to communities that help us create a sense of identity. Yes, our attachments to technology can and often do become disordered. And the big if is, our souls need to be committed first, foremost, to God. And so, as one reflects on our technology, I hear the admonition in Matthew's gospel, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. For where your smartphone is, therefore, where your heart will be also. So here again, my favorite version of Psalm 135. The idols of the nations are smartphones, the work of human hands. They have screens, but they do not speak. They have cameras front and back, but they do not see. They have speakers, but do not hear. There is no breath in their mouths unless we put it there. Those who make them and all who trust them shall come like them. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen.